Psalm 96. Let's stand together tonight while we read the King James Bible. Psalm 96 and verse 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen. Declare, the Bible said, his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. You may be seated tonight. We'll be going through this psalm. We're not going to preach it all tonight, but we'll be dealing with a portion of this psalm that the Lord has planted in our hearts tonight. Look in Psalm 96 and verse 2. The Bible said, sing unto the Lord. But not just sing unto the Lord. The Bible said, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. And this psalm is a tremendous psalm. It is a companion psalm with Psalm chapter 95. Now I want to preach on that subject tonight that is mentioned in verse 2. I think it is at the heart of what the writer is saying to us tonight, sing unto the Lord. And the Bible said, bless his name. Bless his name. And I believe that's important for you and I. And I think there's a scriptural truth that is tied into these things tonight that can help us in our Christian life. So I'm preaching tonight on bless his name. Let's pray. Father, we come and we're so grateful for this Father's Day. Lord, we want to tell you how grateful we are for your love and your mercy and your watch care. And Lord, we want to thank you, Lord, for every blessing. And more than that, God, we want to thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be in your family. Lord, to be called a child of God. Lord, to be sealed with the Holy Ghost until the day of redemption. To be so blessed that every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above to us. And Lord, we want to thank you tonight for every blessing that you've showered on us, Lord, in this year from the first day in January until now. Lord, we probably don't even realize that the year is almost half gone. But Lord, I want to thank you, God, for all that you've done. I thank you for every step that you've guided. I thank you, Lord, God, for every scripture that you put in our heart. I thank you, Father, for every service that we've had together. I thank you, Lord, tonight for the shouting and the praise and the worship of God's people. I thank you for the songs of Zion and the sweetness of what it is to feel the wonderful presence of God. Now I pray tonight you'd help us as we peer into the timeless pages of God's book. Would you give us power to preach it and to declare it? Lord, we're not just here to study the Bible and, Lord, to look at it academically, but God, we're here tonight to praise and to magnify and to glorify and to worship the one who gave us this love letter and the wonderful truths that are in it. I pray thy hearts to be edified, our souls, Lord, to be exercised tonight in the precious truth of God's blessed book tonight. And Father, help us tonight to preach it, God, as if we may never preach again. And we'll thank you for it, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As you look at our text tonight, I'm reminded that this psalm bears a striking resemblance to that song that David composed when the ark came home from the house of Obed-Edom. You'll find that psalm in 1 Chronicles chapter number 16. and you find that it bears a striking resemblance to Psalm chapter 96. In fact, that song has 30 verses. If you take your Bible sometime and look at 1 Chronicles 16 and this particular psalm, you'll find out they bear a striking resemblance to each other. And so God wanted us to have it in the history of the Chronicles, and then God wanted us to have a portion of it in the Psalms of Israel that are found here in Psalm chapter 96. Now, there's a portion of this psalm, if you go through the Psalms and you notice the language and the similarity, there's a portion of this psalm in Psalm 97, in Psalm 98, and in Psalm 100. And these words tonight are tremendous words for you and I, especially on a day like we celebrate today. And so there's no inscription above this psalm. I've taught you often that the inscription gives many times the penman of the song and the purpose of it all. But I believe if you compare scripture with scripture, that the parallel between 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and this passage is so striking. There's no doubt tonight that this psalm comes from the pen of the sweet psalmist of Israel, which is David tonight. Now look down at your Bible for just a minute, because there's an intriguing trio. There are three threes in this psalm I want to call your attention to tonight by way of introduction. Look in verse number 1. The Bible said, "Oh, sing unto the Lord." And it's mentioned three times. Oh, sing unto the Lord. Sing unto the Lord. And in verse 2 again, sing unto the Lord. Sing, sing, sing. And did you know that Christianity tonight abounds in song? It is tonight privileged by God to be able to sing with joy back to Him for His greatness, for His glory, and for all that He is and for all that He has done. I say hallelujah tonight. Sing, sing, sing. And you know, singing's good for it. I like what Brother Roloff used to say. He said, "When I can't pray, I sing." Hallelujah. And I do the same thing myself. Sometimes when I can't seem to get through praying, I will sing, sing, sing. Hallelujah. And just sing some songs unto the Lord. And so there is the threefold mention of sing. And then in verse number 7, notice this tonight. And there's a second trio in this psalm. The Bible said, "Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name." And so not only we have tonight, sing, 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 but we also have give, give, give. Amen. Sound like a Baptist church service. Hallelujah. Sing, sing, sing. Give, give, give. But we just take one offering, but we sing more than one song. There is tonight the threefold mention of give, give, give. And there's a purpose behind this. Because in verse number 1, notice that, and verse number 2 as well, notice that the name of God, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, it's mentioned here, Lord, Lord, Lord. And the threefold mention of Lord, it's found here. And you know from our study, oftentimes we recognize this name of God as Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God, the self-existent God of the covenant. And so we sing and we give, and we give and we sing with a cheerful heart to the one who's always ready to receive the glory for what we give Him. And He's altogether worthy of it tonight. And so I say, let us sing and give and give and sing with a cheerful heart to the one who's always ready to receive the glory and always worthy to receive that glory as well tonight. Now notice how this psalm is structured tonight, if you will. The closing portion of this psalm is a call to God's creation to join the joyful praises of God. Look in verse number 11 and 12. Now I realize that these verses probably apply to that far-reaching time when the creation was have the curse lifted off from it. I believe that the whole world today is groaning and travailing together in pain. But thank God one of these days that God's going to deliver it, and even creation will sing and shout the praises of God. Look in verse number 11. "Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad." Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice. And so God says here that the heavens and the earth and that the sea and the field and that the trees of the wood will rejoice. And you know what? Tonight they know who their creator is. And they know who their God is tonight. And when God lifts that curse, I have no doubt they're going to do just exactly what this verse has to say. And so in the close of the song, there's a call to God's creation to join the joyful praises of the Lord. And then in the close of the song, there's a reminder of the coming of our blessed Lord. Look in your Bible, if you will, in the close of this song. The scripture said, even in verse 10, say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Verse 13, before the Lord, for he cometh. Now notice here in your Bible, before the Lord, for he cometh. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. And so we're reminded, he cometh, he cometh. And one of these days, he's coming to judge. We know when he shouts from the realms above, and he's going to call his church out. But we know also, at the end of the tribulation period, that he's coming back to this world, and that he's going to be a judge. And so, look in your Bible, if you will, at the structure of this psalm. Number one, in verses 1 through 6, his works are to be praised. In verses 1 through 6. Secondly, his worthiness is to be worshiped. Verses 7 through verse number 9. And then thirdly, in verses 10 through 13, his worldwide reign is recognized. His works are to be praised in verses 1 through 6. His worthiness is to be worshiped in verse 7 through 9. And his worldwide reign is to be recognized. And so this entire psalm is one that calls us to praise and personal testimony and bring glory and honor to the God who really deserves it tonight. So let's notice it tonight. His works are to be praised. In the opening verses of this particular psalm, the Bible calls on us to sing, but not just to sing. By the way, we don't just sing for singing's sake. Even though we are scheduled to sing, and there are songs selected for each service, we are not just to sing for singing's sake. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. And so we're called upon to sing. It's important to us that we do sing. By the way, if you don't sing, you are missing a tremendous part of the worship service in the house of God. And then the Bible said we're not only to sing, but we're to sing unto him. And so we're to praise, first of all, by singing. Verse number 1 teaches us that we're to praise him by singing. And then verse number 2 teaches us we're to praise by showing. And verse number 3 says that we're to praise by saying, I'm glad I can sing to him. I'm glad I can show forth his salvation. I'm glad I can say that the Lord is great and I can declare his glory. Why? Because I know him in the salvation of my soul and the forgiveness of my sins. Now, first of all, we're to praise him by singing. Now, notice what the Bible said. The Bible teaches us to whom we sing. A lot of singing is sung from human lips for human ears. Listen carefully. And it's turned into an entertainment industry in our society. The Southern gospel industry has turned into an entertainment industry. And a lot of them get so close to Nashville and then so close to Hollywood, you can't tell them between the world and the church. Say amen right there. But you and I tonight are called to sing because singing is an act of worship. But we're not simply to sing for singing's sake. We're not simply to to sing from human lips for human ears, but we're to sing unto the Lord. Oh, what a wonder it is when you and I lose sight of every other individual and we speak directly to God. We're to sing to a certain one, and we're to sing a certain way. And thank God, we're to sing a certain song. The Bible said we're to sing a new song. And I'm glad tonight God is listening tonight. Oh, I think about this sometimes when we're singing our hymns. You're not just singing to me and I'm not just singing to you. But thank God we are singing to God. Amen. We're singing unto the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song. I believe that singing would take on a whole different life if we realize we don't just sing because we're scheduled to sing. And we don't just sing because somebody expects us to sing. But we're to sing because our songs are an act of worship to a holy and a righteous God. Now in the Bible, there are certain commands about singing. Singing is not just a form of entertainment. It's not just given to take up time before the service. God has so designed it so that in His book that He's commanded us to sing a certain way. Now let's look at it in your Bible. Look in Ephesians chapter 5, if you will. I believe a person who's spirit-filled will be a singing person. They may not be musically inclined or musically endowed or musically talented, but if you're full of the Holy Ghost, oh, thank God, and you desire to sing from your heart unto the Lord, I'm glad tonight, hallelujah, He's ready to receive our songs. The Bible said in Ephesians 5, verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody where? Where do we make that melody first? Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, right? And so first of all, we sing inwardly. How would it be tonight if every song we sang, whether it's Amazing Grace, or I Feel Like Traveling Home, or There Is a Fountain, or How Firm a Foundation, or whether it be Victory in Jesus, or Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man that I used to be. How would it be tonight if you and I would first begin to sing that song inwardly, and we would first begin to minister that song from our heart unto the heart of the Holy God. I'm telling you tonight, hallelujah, our singing would take on a whole different light if we realize tonight, first of all, we're to sing inwardly to God. Amen. And then secondly, the Bible teaches us that we're to sing outwardly. Look in Colossians chapter 3. First inwardly and then outwardly. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. The Bible said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I believe that our songs ought to be scriptural songs. Sometimes we change a few of the words to make sure that it's biblical. I'm certain you don't want me to preach you a lie tonight, and I don't want you to sing me a lie either. Amen. I want to sing according to the scripture. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And so we're to teach and admonish one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. First of all, we sing inwardly, and we sing secondly outwardly. And it's so important tonight that our songs have a teaching element and a biblical aspect about it. While we could sing Jimmy Crack Corn, and I don't care, that would be the sentiment of some Baptist hearts when they come to church, but we don't sing that song. Why? Because it's not a song that's connected to the Bible in a spiritual way. And we don't want to sing that type of thing anyhow in the house of God. We're to teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We're to sing in our hearts, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And so we sing inwardly and we sing outwardly. And the psalmist teaches us tonight that we sing upwardly. Hallelujah. Some of you won't remember this and some of you will. I love to hear Brother Roloff sing. He sings a little differently, but I also love to hear the Honeybee Quartet, the Rebecca Girls. And I remember one night I was at a camp meeting, and that brother that succeeded him in the ministry there and pastored the People's Baptist Church for years, I believe his name was Brother Cameron, and he had those Rebecca Girls on the bus, and boy, they filled up that choir loft that night, and they got to singing that old song, I've Come Too Far to Look Back. I tell you what, before we got done, we done run all around that place, and we already shouted the victory. I'm telling there's something about it when songs are sang from the heart unto the Lord. Sing unto the Lord, the Bible said, a new song, sing unto the Lord, all the earth, take my voice and let me sing. Always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee, said the dear one, Francis Havergal. Listen tonight, I don't want to sing Honky Tonk Angel on Saturday night and Holy, Holy, Holy on Sunday morning. I don't want to sing Hell's Bells on Friday night and try to come sing the holy songs of Zion on Sunday morning. I want my voice always to be tuned, hallelujah, to sing the praises of God, hallelujah. That's exactly right. And I personally believe that the greatest instrument that has ever been made was made by God, and it's the human voice. The human voice is the greatest instrument that's ever been made. And I believe it was made to praise and to magnify and to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice here in your Bible in Psalm 96, I pointed it out just a moment ago. Verse number 1, oh, sing unto the Lord. A new song, sing unto the Lord. Sing unto the Lord. Bless His name. And so we are reminded that we're to sing unto Him. Lord, verse 1. Lord, verse 1. Lord, verse number 2. Listen tonight, we sing to a triune God. Amen. 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 Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm glad that He is. Three times we're instructed to sing unto Him. He is the triune God. We are celebrating today Father's Day. And we're not celebrating it because of how worthy we are as fathers. And there's some good fathers here tonight. But we're not singing it because of how worthy we are as a father. We don't celebrate Father's Day because of how worthy we are. But we do have a father that's worthy to sing to. We sing to all three. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We sing to the Father who planned our salvation. Did you realize before you were ever a thought in your mother and daddy's mind, before you ever had a birth record, there was a God who had planned in eternity past to send the Savior. I thank God there was a God in the councils of eternity past that determined that salvation would be by grace, through faith, through the shed blood of Christ. I praise Him tonight, the Father who planned our salvation. Amen. Anybody could devise a plan whereby what most men and women would call good people could go to heaven. Only God could devise a plan where sinners double died and their sin could be washed by the crimson flow of Calvary's Lamb. I sing to the Father tonight because He has planned our salvation. Oh, I'm glad that God thought it before I was ever a thought in my mother and dad's mind. I sing unto Him because of the Father who planned my salvation. Not only that, I sing unto the Son who purchased my salvation. Amen. It was not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. It was not possible that all the sacrificial animals, if you brought them all to God on the same day, the goat and the bullock and the turtle dove and the lamb and the scapegoat, it was not possible if you killed them all on the same day and brought those offerings to the door of the temple or the tabernacle. It was not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Oh, but I'm glad God sent His darling Son from the glory world and the Lamb of God shed His red, rich, royal, redeeming blood. I'm thankful for the Son who purchased my salvation at the price of His precious blood. Revelation 1:5. Now unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. And I'm glad that God has applied the blood to my sins and washed me clean and white. And not only am I white as snow, but I'm whiter than snow. And the garment that I have on tonight has been purchased. The garment of His righteousness has been purchased. I have traded my old tattered garments of self-righteousness. I've been clothed in the righteousness of Christ. I've been washed in the blood. I've been placed in the family as an adult son. I've been adopted. Hallelujah. I've got every right and every privilege. Jesus is my elder brother, and God is my Father, and the Holy Ghost is my companion. I say hallelujah to the one, Father, Son, and we offer our praise as well to the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The Spirit who presented our salvation. And by the way, you wouldn't be saved tonight if the Holy Ghost hadn't gotten involved in your conversion. You don't get saved simply because you make a decision for Christ. You don't get saved because you signed a card and decided to join a Baptist denomination. Oh no. You get saved because the Holy Spirit gets involved. He takes the preached word or the proclaimed word or the written word. He takes God's precious word and He brings you to a realization that you're lost. In fact, you would still be blind and dead, and you'd still be wandered out there in the confusion of the world. Had not the blessed Holy Ghost got a hold of your heart and shown you that you were lost. Oh, thank God the Spirit of God took me out of the darkness and confusion and brought me in conviction to the foot of an old rugged cross. And I realized, hallelujah, that not only Jesus died for the world, but hallelujah, that He died for me. I'm glad, glory to God, for the Spirit that presented me salvation. Hallelujah. No, and I think about Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Paul said, Romans chapter 11. Let's read this verse tonight. It's a kindred passage to what I'm preaching right now. And the Lord brought it up, so let's look at it. Romans chapter 11 and the last verse of this chapter. Romans chapter 11. For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. For of Him, there's three Hims, one for the Father and one for the Son and one for the Holy Ghost. Of Him and through Him and to Him. Of Him as the originator, and the Bible said through Him as the sustainer, and to Him as the consummator. And one day, hallelujah, the one who planned my salvation and the one who purchased my salvation and the one who presented my salvation will bring me to a throne where He has been seated. And one of these days I'll bow down. Hallelujah. One of these days I'll bow down before Him. Hallelujah. I'll worship Him in a land that's fairer than day. I won't have a frail body and a bewildered mind and a troubled spirit. But I'll bow down and give my praise to Him who died for me. Hallelujah. That's exactly right. I praise Him tonight. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Now the Bible tells us in this passage not only to whom we sing, but it also tells us what we sing. The Scripture said here in Psalm 96, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song." Sing unto the Lord a new song. Has God given you a new song? Has God given you tonight a new song as a believer? Well, this new song is a fresh expression of praise for God's delivering power. This new song comes about because of an old story. Oh, yeah. This new song, isn't it wonderful? I was talking to Grandma today. Really pray for her. She needs the Lord's help. Some of you understand what I'm talking about. And she's asking me today about, she said, "Preacher, could you get me a copy of that message that I heard the day I got saved?" She said, "I haven't forgot it, but I'd like to have a copy of it." She got a new song because she heard an old story. Isn't it wonderful that God can take an old story and change an old sinner and make them brand new and give them a brand new song? Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful tonight? It is a true song. This song that we sing is a song about Him and His power and His work. It's a song about Christ and His finished work. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I'm glad tonight we sing a new song. This new song provides a testimonial so that others may trust in the Lord. Psalm chapter 40 and verse 3. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. A new song is a song of praise. It's a testimonial song to God who has new mercies for every day. How many of you felt like this? You felt like when you got saved that you never wanted to sin again. And you felt like that first day maybe that you probably never would ever sin again. And you found out after the first day or the second day, or maybe on the first day, that you already had sinned again. And a new song is sung to God who has new mercies. Lamentations 3:22-23. Thank God you and I have a God that has mercy that's new every morning. And the same God who picked you up out of the miry clay. Hallelujah. And the same God who washed you off in His precious blood and placed your feet on a solid rock. It's the same God who picks you up and gives you new mercy every day. I'm telling you what, there's new failures every week, but there's new mercy every day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah for the new song tonight. This God has not only new mercies, but He has mighty miracles. And the greatest of all is the fact that He's allowed us to pass from death unto life in salvation. God is pleased to give every one of these saints a new song because He's given them a new life. Amen. A new song and a new life. Isn't it wonderful to have from your heart new desires and new aspirations, a new outlook on life? It's not that old jaded perspective from being in the family of the devil. Oh no, but it's a new song and it's a new outlook and it's a new life. It's new desires and it's a new world. And even though the world's not new, the one that God saved placed in that world with new eyes and new ears and a new outlook. Oh hallelujah. God has given us a new song tonight. It's a true song. It's a testimonial song. It's a triumphant song of God's new mercies and God's mighty miracles. It's a transcending song. Now, why shouldn't we sing a new song who have been given a new covenant? Amen. Listen now, David, who penned this song, did not have the privileges that you and I have. Even when he said, oh, how I love thy law, he was talking about the first five books of the Bible. You and I have a new song, and a new song is a New Testament song. It's a song of praise for the new covenant and the precious privileges of that covenant. You and I have a new and living way, and we've got full access to God. I'm glad I don't have to come to a priest and present my offering. I don't have to come and talk to anybody to talk for me. I can go straight into the presence of God as a New Testament priest. And as a child of the King, I'm able to go straight to God. Why? I've got a new covenant. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. And the Bible teaches us that a new song is a song that shall ever be new. Amen. I'm glad this new song doesn't get old. Amen. Amen. It shall never wax old or vanish away. I'm glad it's not antiquated or it's out of date. And somebody said, well, we need some new songs. If you get saved, you'll get a new song. Amen. No, they want some rock and roll song. Or they want some worldly song. And they want something that sounds like the club or the bar they came out of. And listen, when I got saved, I didn't want anything that I had in the world. God gave me a new song and I had a craving to sing the songs of Zion and the songs about the blood and the songs about Christ. Shouldn't you and I, who've been cleansed by the blood and brought into a new covenant and have a better priesthood and a better sacrifice and better blessings, sing the praises of Him who said, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Hallelujah. Now I want to say, you and I ought to sing this transcending song. We crossed from Malachi to Matthew, and we've gone from Matthew to Hebrews, and we thought about what Christ has done for us. We thought about how He split the veil, and how, hallelujah, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, the Bible tells us that He has purchased our redemption, and that you and I are not worshiping on an annual covenant that has to be renewed every year by blood at the door of the tabernacle, that you and I are standing on the blood of the everlasting covenant, and you and I are saved. And listen, I'm not hoping to be saved. I'm not looking to be saved. I've been saved by the blood of the crucified one. Why shouldn't I sing a new song? Because I have a new covenant tonight. And we are to know about from this psalm. We are instructed about to whom we sing and to what we sing. And we are instructed about how we sing. And probably most importantly tonight is the how we sing. The Bible tells us here that we're to sing unto the Lord and we're to bless His name. We are to sing unto the Lord and to bless His name. And honestly, for many years, I didn't understand what it meant to bless the Lord. As I looked into it more closely, the Lord has given me some rich truth about this particular truth about how we should sing. We're to sing and bless His name. It would revolutionize your singing if you would not just sing from human lips for human ears, but if you would come to sing and to bless His name. I was in a meeting here some weeks ago, and we were talking about at the back door. I was asking the pastor if he knew this certain singing family that I had been acquainted with over the years. And I preached revival meetings in churches where they sang. They used to travel and sing years ago. Now I tell you, I've never heard anybody sing like this lady. I mean, it seemed like she'd throw her head back. And I mean, a sound came out of that sounded like it echoed from another world. And she'd start singing, "Brother Sam, I think I'll just go with God." But I tell you what, I want to run to the altar and say, "Hey, I'm going with you." It makes a difference when you sing. And when you're singing, it's designed to bless the Lord. Hallelujah. And this will eliminate a lot of jealousy among singers. I've never seen so much of a spirit of competition and evil eyes cast across the church sometimes and in places where I've been. I've been in big meetings where several notable groups were singing, and you can watch them. While they're up singing, they want everybody to say amen. But while they're not up singing, they sit there like a church mouse, quiet as can be. Listen, friend, if you're singing for God and you're singing these songs of Zion that bring honor and glory to Him, I say amen. Hallelujah. We're singing about Him. It's not about us, but it's about Him. Oh, hallelujah tonight. You and I are to sing in such a way that we bless His name. Hallelujah. When we bless His name, our singing and praise rises to an exalted level. Now listen carefully. And I like what Spurgeon said right here. He said, "Heavenly music is not harping on one string, but on all strings tuned to one praise." God has given the human voice the ability to bless His name. Now to bless God is when we praise Him from a heart of affection. It's when our heart is turned to God and we love Him and we long to give Him all that He deserves. Look at Psalm 103 verse 1. Psalm 103 and verse 1. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." And all that is within me, we bless Him from a heart of affection. I'm not to give all that is within me to you or to anyone else, but I am to sing in such a way that I give all that is within me to God, because I bless God from a heart of affection. I love Him and I long to give Him what He deserves. Amen. That makes your song an offering of affection back to God. And then secondly, we bless His name when we admire His words and His works, but also when we are sure that we are adoring Him. Psalm 100 and verse number 4, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name." You know, it enters into a different level when the singing becomes that which adores Christ. And the Bible said, "Be thankful unto Him and bless His name." It would be so amazing what God could do with us if we sing our songs from the heart of affection and we bless our Lord from a heart of adoration. Amen. Listen tonight, we sing and we bless Him from a heart of affection and we bless Him from a heart of adoration. Praise tonight is not just methodical, but it's personal. Number three, we bless the Lord when our lives have advanced in Christ so far that now we know that we're not self-made men or women. When we have advanced so far in Christ, you better remember where you were as a little new convert, struggling along in the Christian life, trying to find the books in the Bible, trying to find an answer to your problems, trying to offer to God a prayer. But we bless the Lord when our lives have advanced in Christ so much that we recognize where our blessings come from and how unworthy we are without Him. And don't you ever get to the place where you get so big. And this is what happened to Israel. They got so big and their blessings got so good that they turned from the blesser and they acted like really that they didn't really need God anymore. They acted like they didn't need anything anymore because they had gotten so big in themselves. And I want to tell you this tonight, no matter where you are in life, you better not forget who that you should bless and why you should bless and where He brought you from and who did it all. Psalm 145, verse 1, look at it with me for just a moment. We bless His name when we've advanced in Christ so as to recognize where our blessings come from and how unworthy we are without Him. I will extol Thee, my God, and as I will lift Him up, O King. I will bless Thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless Thee. I will praise Thy name forever and ever. Oh, listen, there would be no reason for you and I to bless Him every day and to praise Him every day if we do not need to recognize Him every day and return the blessing of thanksgiving and the worthy worship of one who recognizes where His blessings come from. You know, I haven't been saved so long now that I don't remember. As a new convert, I was discussing with a young man the other day something about the Scripture. They said, "Where did you get all that from?" I said, "The Lord gave it to me." I said, "But I hadn't forgot where I came from." Boy, there had been many nights, Brother Sam, I'd go home on a Sunday night. And I'd just been in a new convert's class, and I was struggling to learn everything I could get my hand and my heart on. And there'd be some nights I'd literally lay in the bed, the tears with the mark run down the side of my face as I begged God to help me learn the Bible. And I said, "Lord, I'm struggling." Everybody comes to class. They've already got their verses memorized and they're moving forward. And I seem to be moving so slowly. It's taking me so long to get a grasp on these things. No, I'd beg God. I'd say, "Lord, if You'll teach me, I want to learn. And if You'll teach me, I'll teach others." No, I'm glad. Hallelujah. To God be all the glory. He's a wonderful teacher. He's a wonderful Savior. He's a wonderful mentor. I hadn't forgotten who He is and who brought me to where I am. I haven't forgotten what He's done for me. I say hallelujah to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Oh, I recognize where my blessings come from. And I want to say to you tonight, you and I ought to bless His name. We ought to bless His name. We ought to bless His name from a heart of affection. We ought to bless His name from a heart of adoration. We ought to bless the One who has advanced us so far in Christ that we've been able to come to where we are. No, I thank Him tonight that I don't have to struggle now to find the books of the Bible, have some little bit of a handle on what this book teaches. And not only that, I'm able to share it with others, that pour it into the lives of others. And all my life I've been doing that. But even more so, I've been offering back to Him the praise for what He's done. I'm glad I can bless Him tonight, singing unto the Lord, bless His name, show forth His salvation from day to day. And I believe you and I ought to bless Him. I don't think it always has to be in a service. I believe you ought to bless Him personally. Well, to bless Him privately. You know, there are some times me and the Lord have had a good meeting together. Amen. Oh, yeah. Me and the Lord. Sometimes I was going down the road the other day talking to Him. Sometimes I'll sing to Him. Sometimes I'll just sit in silence and ask Him to speak to me. And oh, it's wonderful to be in His presence and to bless His holy name. I'm glad I don't just come to church because I have to. I come to church because I want to. I'm glad I don't just come to church because I want to get in so I can get out. I bless His name tonight. That's the God of glory who sent His Son to die for me and the Holy Ghost to come to me and draw me to Himself has brought me thus far in the journey. How else could I say that I love Him tonight? I bless His holy name. I thank Him tonight because of all He is and because of all He's done. And I don't know if you realize it or not, but sometimes we go away from here, and I'm telling you what, the power of God's been so real and the presence of God has been so near. I don't see how anybody who's right with God could not sense it and be benefited by it. But I feel in my heart sometimes when I go home that we didn't fully get it accomplished because we haven't, because it'll not be completed until we get to that throne where the rainbow goes all the way around. Oh, yeah. Where redeemed sinners bow down at Jesus' feet. cast their crowns at the feet of him who died on an old rugged cross for us. No, then we'll begin to sing, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. And we'll redeem voices who have been glorified by the mighty power of God are lifted up to praise Him over there in the glory world. Hallelujah. We'll bless His holy name. And then we'll understand how much we felt the presence of heaven while here on earth. But we'll do it in a place where we'll not be distracted or discouraged or anything else. We'll bless His name in a Lamb that's fairer than day. But until I get there, I'm going to go ahead and practice while I'm here. Yeah, we'll go ahead and practice while I'm here. Say, preacher, I get so tired of you crying and carrying on. Well, you're just going to have to get used to it, I reckon. When I get there, I may not be crying, but I'm still be carrying on. I promise you that. When I get to the presence of the one who has given me a new nature and given me a new life and given me a new name and given me a new song. Oh, hallelujah. I'll bless His name in a Lamb that's fairer than day. Glory, glory, glory to the Lamb of God. And all these verses have helped my heart to realize that I ought to be so in love with Him. Nobody should have to try to prod me or prime me or motivate me to praise Him. My heart should be so in love with Him. Nobody should have to shame me to say a word on His behalf. Lord, I want to say to Him tonight that I still stand amazed. I still stand amazed at how He loves me. I still stand amazed at how faithful He is to me, how good He is to this sinner saved by grace. How I feel like Mephibosheth in the presence of David. I feel like a dead dog that deserves absolutely nothing. Oh, but I'm glad the King has invited me to come into a relationship with Himself. He's invited me to sit at His table. Thank God He's invited me. And He's promised to take care of me the rest of my days. I say, bless His holy name. I bless the Lord, oh my soul, and bless His holy name. You and I, they're saved tonight. We've got every reason to bless Him tonight. You think about it tonight, what all the Lord has done for you, saving you and using you and helping you, and all the times we've stumbled along life's way, and yet He's been such a patient Savior. Pick us up and take us on down the road so we can walk with Him, and He's shown us even better things and greater things year by year. But I bless His name tonight. Let's stand with our heads bowed.